Morning. Lord willing, when you get home this evening, you're probably going to watch the evening news. You're going to see bad news. You're going to see reports of another mass shooting where innocent lives are lost. You're going to see reports of robberies, subway assaults, and on and on. Does it frustrate you to the point where you ask, where is God in all of this? Why do wicked and dishonest people prosper? Why do crooked politicians that are driven by greed and power get elected to office? It seems like power and success comes to those who break God's law. Well, somewhere around 605 BC, a prophet asked similar questions. Let's pray. Our gracious God and Heavenly Father, we're about to look into your word. We pray, Lord, that as we look into your word, we'll be led by the Holy Spirit, so that, Lord, you will be magnified. And that in all things, you would have the preeminence. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Please turn with me to the book of Habakkuk. Habakkuk chapter 1. If you are having problems finding the book of Habakkuk, go to the book of Matthew and count back five books. Who was Habakkuk? Habakkuk was a minor prophet. In fact, the last 12 books of the Old Testament, beginning with Hosea, are minor prophets. They are considered minor prophets not because of their significance, but for the fact that there's not a lot written about them. For instance, the book of Habakkuk has three chapters. In contrast, the book of Isaiah has 66 chapters, and the book of Jeremiah has 52 chapters. Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, and Daniel are all considered the major prophets. History. We don't know a lot about the prophet Habakkuk, but we do know that he was a prophet because the Bible said so. In Habakkuk 1, verse 1, the burden which the prophet Habakkuk saw. Habakkuk has been called the Doubting Thomas of the Old Testament because of the questions he asked the Lord. Habakkuk prophesied to the southern kingdom, Judah, during the rise of Babylon. He lived during a period of spiritual revival under King Josiah. Now, Josiah was a righteous king who did what was right in the sight of the Lord. 2 Kings 22, verse 1 and 2. Excuse me. Josiah was 8 years old when he became king, and he did what was right in the sight of the Lord. So after Josiah died, the next four kings who reigned were wicked men who rejected God. And they also oppressed their own people. Now, Habakkuk lived through this period of spiritual decline. Habakkuk was perplexed about the wickedness and oppression that was rampant in Judah. It was a time of lawlessness and immorality. And it appeared to Habakkuk that God was doing nothing about it. Habakkuk did not like what he saw. So he complained to the Lord about it. Habakkuk's name means to embrace or wrestle. In this case, he is wrestling with a difficult issue. If God is a righteous God, why is there evil in the world? And if there must be evil, then why do evil prosper? Why does a righteous God allowed such injustice. Habakkuk was unique among the prophets in that he asked God questions. Most prophets spoke on behalf of the Lord to the people. Habakkuk spoke on behalf of the people to the Lord. Let's look at Jeremiah and Ezekiel and compare them with Habakkuk. Jeremiah 1 and 4. Jeremiah says, "Then the word of the Lord came to me, saying," Ezekiel 1 and 3. Ezekiel says, "The word of the Lord came expressly to Ezekiel the priest." Now look at Habakkuk, verse 1 and verse 2. Chapter 1, verse 2. "O Lord, how long should I cry and you will not hear? Even cry out to you, violence, and you will not save me." Habakkuk was speaking on behalf of the people to God. Habakkuk had a burden, and he sought answers to his burden. He was troubled by what he observed, so he asked these difficult questions. Habakkuk 1, verse 3 and 4. "Why do you show me iniquity and cause me to see trouble? For plundering and violence are before me. There is strife and contention arises." Verse 4. "Therefore the law is powerless and justice never goes forth. For the wicked surround the righteous. Therefore perverse judgment proceeds." In verse 2 to 4, it appears that Habakkuk was praying to God for a long time and God was not answering his prayer. Habakkuk says there is sin, wickedness, and violence in Judah, and the Lord is not doing anything about it. Habakkuk says that God's law is ignored. There is injustice in Judah. The righteous are suffering. And when justice does occur, it's corrupt. Habakkuk wanted to know God's plan. What's remarkable in that in verse 5 through 11, God answers Habakkuk and gives him his plan. Verse 5 and 6. "Look among the nations and watch and be utterly astounded, for I will work a work in your days which you would not believe, though it was told you. For indeed, I am raising up the Chaldeans, a bitter and hasty nation, which marches through the breadth of the earth to possess dwelling places that are not theirs." God tells Habakkuk, "Okay, Habakkuk, here's my plan. You're going to be amazed at what I'm about to do." God was about to do something impressive. The whole world would see what the Lord would do. God would use the Babylonians to judge Judah, but destroy the proud Babylonians afterwards. The Apostle Paul referenced verse 5 in Acts 13, verse 41, for those who will reject God's gift of salvation. "Behold, you despisers, marvel and perish, for I will work a work in your days, a work in which you will by no means believe, though one were to declare it to you." Guess what? Habakkuk complained again. Habakkuk has a second question to the Lord. Verse 12 and 13. "Are you not from everlasting, O my God, my Holy One? We shall not die, O Lord. You have appointed them for judgment. O rock, you have marked them for correction. You are of purer eyes than to behold evil, and cannot look on wickedness, Why do you look on those who deal treacherously and hold your tongue when the wicked devours a person more righteous than he?" Habakkuk's response was, "Lord, you have to be kidding me. You are a holy God and you can't stand evil, and you are sending the wicked Babylonians to execute justice on your behalf?" Now, the Babylonians were known for their fierce, wicked, and proud army. In Habakkuk's eyes, Judah was wicked, but the Babylonians were significantly worse. This wasn't fair to Habakkuk. God was using a more wicked nation than Judah to accomplish his purpose. Habakkuk begins verse 12 claiming that God is eternal and that the Babylonians will not destroy Judah. Habakkuk knows that God will not destroy Judah because of his covenantal promises. God had given this land to Israel and he would not take it away. That is why he says, we will not die. The Babylonians were coming to correct, not destroy. Habakkuk believes God and trusts God, but he still doesn't fully understand God's answer to his problem. Even though we may not understand all our circumstances, we should always commit our circumstances to God in faith. For the rest of the chapter one, Habakkuk went on to describe the prideful Babylonians. The Babylonians were proud idolaters that boasted about their conquests. Habakkuk wondered, how could a holy God allow them to continue like this? In the beginning of the chapter, Habakkuk complained that God was doing nothing. Now God is doing something. Sometimes we pray to God to do something in our lives. And when he does, we complain about the methodology that God uses. God does not always give us the answers we want or expect, but we have it in our mind how we want God to answer our prayers. But when he does it differently, or if he doesn't answer right away, we complain. God sees the total picture, but we only see what's in front of us. It's so important that we wait on the Lord. When we face challenges, it's important for us to remember that God is in control. God can choose the most unlikely instruments to fulfill his purpose. Habakkuk knew who God was, but could not understand how God could use a more wicked people than Judah to punish Judah. If you remember, the whole book of Amos centered upon the fact that Israel was worse than all of the rest of the Gentile nations because she knew better, yet she rebelled against God. She had been given the law, which the Gentiles did not receive. The greater the privilege, the greater the responsibility. The same would apply here to Judah. They were not better in God's eyes. Chapter 2, verse 1. I will stand my watch and set myself on the rampart and watch to see what he will say to me and what I will answer when I am corrected. 3 points I like to bring out. Number one, Habakkuk is prepared to wait for God's answer. Number two, Habakkuk is faithful and anticipating a response from God. And number three, Habakkuk is submissive to God and is expected to be corrected. Habakkuk wanted to be alone to see God's perspective. Now, this is an important principle for us today. Whether we call it devotions or quiet time, it's important that every Christian have daily communion with God. Habakkuk 2, verse 2 and 3. Then the Lord answered me and said, write the vision and make it plain on tablets, that he may run who reads it. For the vision is yet for an appointed time, but at the end it will speak, and it will not lie. Though it tarries, wait for it, because it will surely come. It will not tarry. In response to Habakkuk's second complaint, God's instructions to Habakkuk was to write it down as a reminder that his judgment on Babylon will surely come. Now, there's no contradiction in verse 3. Though it tarries, it will not tarry. God has a plan and a timetable. God knows his plan, and everything will work out according to his purpose and on his timetable. Habakkuk 2, verse 3 refers to the imminent judgment of Babylon. In Hebrews 10:37, for yet a little while, and he who is coming will come and will not tarry. That refers to the imminent coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 4 and 5. Behold the proud, his soul is not upright in him, but the just, or the righteous, shall live by faith. Indeed, because he transgresses by wine, he is a proud man, and he does not stay at home, because he enlarges the desire as hell. And he is like death, and cannot be satisfied. He gathers to himself all nations, and heats for himself all peoples. These two passages contrast the proud and the righteous. The proud Babylonians boasted about their conquests. Wine drinking was one of their favorite pastimes. In fact, Babylon was conquered during one of their drunken feasts. A proud person relies on self, power, position, and accomplishment. A righteous person relies on the faith, on their faith in the Lord. In contrast to the proud, the just will be preserved through their faithfulness to God. The Apostle Paul referenced Habakkuk 2 verse 4 in Romans 1:17 and also in Galatians 3:11. In Romans, he says, "For in the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith." And in Galatians 3:11 says, "But that no one is justified by the law in the sight of God is evident, for the just shall live by faith." Now, this is the core of God's message to Habakkuk. Justification by faith is noted by Paul in these two chapters. The righteous shall live by faith, not the law. In other words, no one is justified by works. It is our faith in God which makes us believe that there is light at the end of the tunnel. It is the light at the end of the tunnel which helps us to make it through. When there is no hope, there is despair. The just shall live by faith. Worded another way, by their faith in God, the just shall live. Faith in God is a way of life for the Christian. In verses 6 through 20, there are five woes describing the Babylonians. Now, woe is a term used to express grief. Whenever you see the word woe in the Bible, there will be eventual judgment. Throughout the book of Isaiah, there are woes, and some of these judgments have been fulfilled, while others are imminent. Habakkuk presents five woes in poetry form, five stanzas of three verses each, and these five woes are directed at the Babylonians, and it can be applied today. Woe to the greedy, woe to the dishonest, woe to the violent, woe to the sexual immoral, and woe to the idolatry. Chapter 3. In chapter 1, Habakkuk was despaired because of the evil around him. In chapter 2, Habakkuk waited for God's answer. In chapter 3, Habakkuk is trusting and praising God. In chapter 3, we have Habakkuk's prayer. Verse 2. O Lord, I have heard your speech and was afraid. O Lord, revive your work in the midst of the years. In the midst of the years, make it known. In wrath, remember mercy. Habakkuk knows the Babylonians are coming and pleads for mercy for the impending judgment. Habakkuk remembers God's intervention in the past for Israel, including Exodus from Egypt and the conquest of Canaan. He is now overcome with a sense of greatness to the Lord. He prays to God to repeat his mighty saving works on behalf of his people. In verses 3 to 15, Habakkuk praises God's majesty, power, and mighty works. Verse 17 through 19. Though the fig tree may not blossom, nor the fruit be on the vines, though the labor of the olive may fail, and the fields yield no food, though the flock may be cut off from the fold, and there be no herd in the stalls, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. The Lord God is my strength. He will make my feet like deer's feet, and he'll make me walk on my high heels. Habakkuk says, no matter what, no matter what challenges or trials I face, I'm going to rejoice in the God of my salvation. In verse 19, he compares his faith to the sure-footed deer who scales the mountains without slipping. Habakkuk's faith in the Lord enables him to endure the hardships of an imminent invasion and all his perplexing questions. The message of Habakkuk is very comforting to us because we live in a wicked society, but God protects the righteous. Sometimes God uses a painful experience to accomplish a sovereign purpose. Through Habakkuk's experience, Habakkuk was able to achieve a better understanding of God's sovereignty and a firmer faith in God. Habakkuk realized that God was not to be worshiped only because of his temporal blessings that he received, but because he is God. Habakkuk was written to show that God is in control of the world despite the apparent triumph of evil. It was not only written by Habakkuk to Judah, but to God's people everywhere. It reminds us that while God may seem silent and uninvolved in our world, he always has a plan to deal with evil and always works out justice. The book of Habakkuk is a steady spiritual progression to God. Habakkuk goes from questioning God to praising God. Habakkuk's circumstances did not change. In fact, his circumstances got worse because the Babylonians are coming. But even through adversity, Habakkuk promises to wait on the Lord. Through it all, Habakkuk embraces God and trusts him. Habakkuk questioned God. So often we question God, not so much with words, but in action. Now listen to the profound questions that Habakkuk boldly brings to God and realize that you too can bring your complaints and inquiry to him. Listen to God's answers and rejoice that he is at work in the world and in our lives. The example of Habakkuk encouraged believers to wait on the Lord, expecting that he will work out all things for our good. Romans 8, verse 28. Habakkuk's mind wasn't big enough to understand what God was trying to do. My thoughts are not your thoughts. Every day we are faced with a variety of choices. What we decide to choose, we based on whether we believe in the plan which God has for our lives. He has chosen the best He has chosen the best possible path for us. It is foolish to rely on our own perception because we are so limited. God's understanding is complete and eternal. If we trust God and follow him, we will discover that his path is always the best path, even if it isn't the easiest path to follow. If you are here today and you haven't yet chosen Jesus, Jesus has a path and a plan for your life. Things may appear gloomy, but God has a way of working things out. You will never regret giving your heart to the Lord. At the beginning of Habakkuk was extremely frustrated. But at the end, he was praising God. Jesus can make that difference in your life too. Make Jesus your choice today. tomorrow is not promised to anyone. Isaiah 4:31. But those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall not run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Wait for it, though it might tarry. Wait for it. It will come. Amen.